Subway.
Oh, 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 yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to K-Pop Parade. My name's Trinity.
And I'm Abby.
And today we're going to be hitting a few comebacks and some news that is going on in the K-pop world.
Woohoo!
Abby, first comeback of the week. What you want to talk about?
First comeback of the week, I have Tiffany Young.
Tiffany Young.
Young, whose real name is Tiffany Huang. So she was in Girls' Generation. And in 2017, she left after her contract expired with SM Entertainment. And in 2018, she debuted in the US. I love Tiffany Young. I think she is beautiful and adorable. And she posts really cute videos. But this single that she released on the 11th called Run For Your Life was... It was Lady Gaga.
It was just a straight up Lady Gaga song re-released in 2019.
They even did the same like vocal manipulations on her as they did on Lady Gaga. On that like reverb part, they twisted her vibrato into more of like a tremolo. It is
just Bad Romance of 2019.
It really is.
Not that it was bad.
Nope, not bad. And if you liked it, if you like Bad Romance, you'll like Run For Your Life. And she's certainly like sexy as fuck in it. And at the very end of the music video, they like really gear up for another drop because they like bring out a guitar and it starts shredding and like there's more dancers that come in and it's like, all right, you know, it'll pick up whatever. And then it ends.
It's over.
It's a really short song. And I'm like, what just happened? Why is it done? And so Tiffany, why'd you do this to me? I loved Magnetic Moon and I loved Born Again. This was just a miss, as we said in our last video. It's a hit or a miss.
It's a hit or a miss. But yes, I mean, it wasn't a bad song. I felt like very shoulder shrug about it.
Yeah, me too. But I love Tiffany Young, so I mean, it's not going to stop me from standing.
Right. And I mean, I'll probably listen to the song again. Just, you know, not like going to go out of my way. If it comes on, I'll listen to it. But
it is also... something to be said that it's in English. She is now an English artist, so it's not technically K-pop anymore. But I will always add her because she is a legend. Because
she's Tiffany Young.
Exactly.
We'll see how the Lady Gaga thing works out for her. Let's talk about Super Junior next. Personally, really, really like this song. Suju's been doing this like Latin theme the past couple of years, and it's been working for me. I still to this day have Lo Siento on that new, like Spotify has that new playlist you can find that says on repeat, and it's like all of the songs that you listen to consistently. Oh. And Lo Siento is still on that list from like 2 years ago. But I really enjoy this whole kind of like Latin feel theme that they're going for. It's working for them. The video also had like a very huge lack of choreography, but I also felt like it worked for the song. I think that I'm so used to choreo in K-pop, but I think it fit the song very well that it was an upbeat, fun song, but then they just kind of kept it simple and stood there singing. Something about it worked really, really well. The flow of the rap went really well for me. It wasn't like an, oh my God, extreme comeback, but it was definitely really good. Like, I will go out of my way to listen to this one. I think Suju did really good with this one.
I didn't have any particular issue with it. I am confused, pleasantly confused, why they're staying on the Latin kick. They've been on it, like you said, for at least 2 years. That's usually time for them to move on to a different, you know, theme or genre or whatever. It is working. You're right. I'm just confused.
I mean, that makes sense.
Why they're still there. Like, because Vav did a Latin comeback, and then Mamamoo did a Latin comeback, and G-Idle did a Latin comeback, and for a hot minute, everything was named Senorita.
You right.
But, like, Suju has camped out there for a long time.
Yeah, I don't know if SM's trying to, where they're using NCT and Super M to break into the American market, if they're just using Super Junior to break into this market, but, I mean, I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either.
So good job, Suju. Anyway,
so the next one we're going to talk about is Hwasa's.
Hwasa!
Hwasa's collaboration with Woogie. Goddess Hwasa
just
is in Mamamoo.
Perfection.
Debuted in 2014. She can do anything she wants to me. She released her first solo in 2019 called Twit, which I will never turn off when it comes on. It's wonderful. Woogie, I had no idea who that is. He's a producer. He's cool. He's fine. He's whatever. But
this is about Hwasa.
This is about Hwasa. I mean, it is, let's be honest. And I didn't know this was coming until I saw it on the comeback list and I was like, Hwasa. And then I cried. But honestly, it's what dreams are made of, this song. It's a ballad. It's a Hwasa ballad and I love it. And she gets so much freedom to scat and flit around the notes. And this song is about the first time that they say, I love you. And it's
cute.
It is so cute. And she has such a rich, sultry voice that it makes you just want to, like, fall asleep into a mug of hot chocolate while she tells you that she loves you, because it's tentative and she's saying that hearing those words would make this fall day even better. And the song is called In the Fall. And you're like, oh, ooh.
I want to live in her voice.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I support that.
We could do a whole episode on Hwasa.
We really could between the two of us.
Yeah. So next I'm going to talk about Ladies Code. Now, I love, love, love Ladies Code. Ladies Code is a group of three members, Ashley, Sojung, and Zuni. Now, they originally debuted on March 7th of 2013. In September of 2014, the group did lose two members in a car crash. So originally five. After the accident, they did not promote again until 2016. I had never heard of them when I was doing like my K-pop revival until I started to get into Card and The Rose, because Ashley is actually really good friends with Woosung from The Rose and Matthew from Card. So them and their friend Drew have a thing called the Bond Saints, and they're adorable on Instagram. They're like a group of besties that you just want to be best friends with. Right? I loved this freaking comeback, though. I thought it was fan-freaking-tastic. The electronic-type track in the background was super fun. I adored the Bonnie and Clyde like heist theme that they did.
They knocking all, over casinos and shit.
Yeah, like robbing shit and holding cute sales clerks at gunpoint and cheating in poker.
With bananas.
It was so cute. It was so much fun.
Spoilers.
Right? Who doesn't like want to shoot a Vegas style set video with shopping and gambling
that.
And just look like fucking rebel badasses with your best friends? Like it was such a fun like girls night out, total normal girls night out with guns. And at one point, one of the girls like had a gun against her head with her finger on the trigger. And I was like,
I was
stop. No,
I was marveling at that because I was like, okay, first of all, South Korea is a very conservative gun country. So I'm not even sure how they allowed them to do this. Second of all, her trigger discipline was terrible.
But regardless, it was a super fun song. The song's just about like being free and having fun, and it totally fit with the vibe of the video. And I think that they did awesome, and this was a really, really great comeback. I support this and Ladies Code fully.
The girl who opened the song with that first verse has a very silky, kind of smooth, kind of jazzy voice, and I really liked that. There wasn't a whole lot of dancing in it, but that's because there was a whole lot of stealing.
Theft and attempted murder with bananas.
That's true.
We just this podcast is going to have a consistent theme, and that theme is going to be murder.
We should just change the name. Instead of K-pop parade, we'll...
It's just K-pop. Murder.
Just murder.
It's just murder. Just murder. That's the title. The whole thing is It's Just Murder.
Just murder.
Go support Ladies Code. Go watch this video. Go listen to this comeback. It was freaking bomb.
I had no idea who Ladies Code was until you were like gung-ho about Ashley. And I was like, who the fuck is Ashley Joy? I don't know. I'll Google it. And then I found them and they're good. I like it.
I love Ashley's voice too. I think out of the three of them, she has my favorite voice too. It's just really soft and airy and beautiful and strong at the same time. She's great.
Next up, we have Highs. Highs is a queen. She's an OST queen. And even though this song isn't that, it doesn't matter because it's beautiful. And I don't have a lot to say other than that it's beautiful. She debuted in 2014, fucking rules the world, whatever, has collabed with a whole bunch of people, including Suga from BTS. In this particular song, I didn't see the English translation because I just watched the music video, and it's about waiting for something or searching for something or finalizing the end of something. Kind of that real season of life song. But it's real pretty and I'd fall asleep to it, and it's whatever.
And I'd fall asleep to it.
Honestly, there's another theme. Abby will fall asleep to a lot of things.
That is what
Abby loves sleep.
That's kind of your overall like favorite. Like I was going back when I was listening to our very first episode, comparing our top five songs was freaking hilarious because all of yours were soft, ethereal, like euphoric little, these like airy, beautiful songs, and then mine were like, yeah, baby, don't like it when you come around.
That's so true. That's actually really
good. And like mine were all other than Spring Day, they were all like upbeat, like pop fun songs, and yours were like, I'm just going to go to bed and fall asleep in a meadow of daisies.
I don't like daisies, but you're damn right. I have actually done that before. Let's not get into it.
It just cracks me up because anytime we talk about songs that we like versus what we didn't like, they're like two. We just have very different tastes in what our favorite type of music is.
You're right. And apparently I'm like a girl group stan and I didn't know it.
Surprise. Here we are.
Surprise.
Next, we're going to talk about In Flying. Originally a 5-member group, now a 4-member group under FNC Management. This song was called Good Bam, and oh my gosh, it is my favorite of the comebacks we were discussing.
Whereas, I'm sorry, did you say Good Bam?
Good Bam.
God, why the fuck?
Abby wants to open up her own K-pop management company.
You know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to just write songs and I'm going to like name them real words and I'm going to make money. And that's just obviously all I need to do in life.
You have so many ideas. You hate group names. You hate group concepts. You hate group song names.
That's not true.
You do.
It's mostly true. I don't hate all of them. I just hate the really ridiculous ones. Like it's like somebody dropped a lot of acid one night and they're like, okay, cool, we're going to name this song Zimzalabim because I am high as fuck.
That is
right
the
now.
One that you always bring up. Why do you hate Red Velvet?
Because have you seen that music video?
I have.
Have you seen it?
Zimzalabim.
Ugh.
I'm all for it.
Ugh. I love Red Velvet. They're fine. They're beautiful. They're goddesses. But Jesus Christ, what the fuck is wrong with that song?
Anyway, In Flying. So the song is called Good Bam. And whereas Ladies Code was like a hardcore girls' night out with guns and robbery and shopping, this was like a dude's day out. And it was so cute. From like going and getting like bubble tea together to doing karaoke and doing photo booths together. It was such a cute video. And the song was super fun. It was super bright. It was catchy. It was adorable. And it was really simple. Like I was 100% here for the simplicity behind it. Because there wasn't like a huge moment. There was no major like crazy vocal parts that were like, oh my god, that was nuts, but it, like the simplicity behind it was almost what made it perfect for me. And I know this is going to shock everyone, but after, because I didn't really know anything by them other than what I'd heard in passing, but after listening to this I was like, oh yeah, hell yeah, I'm on board. And after listening to this song I found the leader absolutely adorable.
Shocked. Yeah. Shock and awe.
Because
what is the world coming to?
I know. Trinity attracted to the leader. What? I don't have a type.
I will ask, though, since I know nothing of In Flying, what happened to their other member?
He was removed from the group in 2018 due to sexual assault allegations.
Oh, great. Fantastic.
So he had denied multiple allegations before and then finally came forward confessing to having certain types of romantic affiliations, that's the word I'm looking for, with fans and things like that he was not supposed to be having and eventually left the group because of it.
Mm.
So, you know.
Lame.
Lame, bro.
Lame, bro.
So that pretty much covers our comebacks for this week. There's a lot still coming up for us, though, in the next couple of weeks. October's halfway over, and we still have a lot going on.
Yes, we do.
When the Nine's coming out, newest, TXT, VAV, Winner, Day 6. ICU, Taeyeon is dropping her a solo.
6, Arias, Monsta X, and Ace are all coming back. And apparently, BTS is dropping a remix with Love this week.
What?
I just got the notification just now.
We also have Jackson from GOT7 dropping his solo, first full solo album. Oh my God, if you have not heard Bullet to the Heart by Jackson yet, holy shit. That song's completely in English, but it fucked my world up. I cannot believe it took me like a few days after it had dropped to listen to it. Jackson fucking rocked it. Bullet to the heart. Bullet to the heart. I fell for a stranger. We're running a chamber. Who led me for dead and with a star in my heart. Bullet to the heart. Bullet to the heart. You're so reckless. Leaving me breathless. You go to my head and leave me alone in the dark. Bullet to the heart. Bullet to the heart. Bullet to the heart.
Did you watch the music video? Because that was yes. Also pretty cool.
Yeah. Holy shit.
He falls
shit.
In love like with the Wicked Witch of the North, and she fucks his shit up.
She does. She goes
it's great.
Murder crazy on him.
Although she doesn't actually murder him in this one, which is, you know, we support murderers, but that's fine.
But that's fine. train of thought. But yeah, Jackson's dropping his solo stuff. Apparently Bam Bam from GOT7 is also dropping or did drop something solo, and I just haven't had the chance to listen to it yet.
Feel It, See It was 3 weeks ago by him, and then he also featured in a song produced by Kilo Keys. It's a Thai track, and it's in Thai. I cannot read it. Also, the thumbnail says, "What the duck?"
It does.
With a D.
What the duck?
What the duck?
So, GOT7 solos doing some things, but...
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we've got all coming up for the rest of October. Now, in some news that is just dropped, One Team announced today they have a comeback coming on November the 6th.
Ooh.
I'm freaking stoked. One Team is one of my absolute favorite rookie groups that debuted this year. They debuted with Vibe. They're a five-member group. Their leader is named BC, which means Brian Chan, because he lived in Bryan, Texas for a long time. he is also my bias as the leader. Shocking, I know.
Shocked.
But so One Team is coming back, and this album cover looks a little bit different than the other two comebacks they've dropped this year. Like, it almost looks like it might be a little bit heavier of a theme, darker of a theme. Of course, they could completely turn around and surprise me. They literally just dropped a teaser today as we're recording this. So,
of course.
But I'm stoked. They write a lot of their own tracks. BC writes a lot of their stuff. BC and Ruben have like a billion tattoos each. BC's a big old cat guy. They're Maknae's adorable and a really great rapper. They're just a really good group. And there's only five of them. It's very easy to get into. You have time to learn everything you need to know about One Team before November 6th happens.
You can start with them.
You can start with them. So that was dropped today as of recording this.
Also, I know we said TXT is coming back later this month, but has anyone seen the trailer for it? It is Harry Potter.
It is okay. Harry Potter.
It is Harry Potter. They do magic spells, and it's wonderful, and I'm so excited for it. Sorry.
You're so cute.
I just had to throw that tidbit in. I love weird, funky collaborations like that. Like, I live for it. I was reading a fan fiction the other day. It's in a K-pop Wasteland Weekend collaboration. That doesn't
what?
Make any sense, but it's wonderful. Or like this TXT and Harry Potter. I live for it. Like, I'm for it. Let's do it. AUs. I'm a sucker for AUs.
You are a sucker for AUs.
Mm-hmm.
So next, we are going to talk about, we released a mini episode about the tragic news behind Sully. However, since this has happened, the Sully Act has been proposed by lawmakers to take legal action against those who do cyberbullying. Over 100 organizations and over 200 celebrities have endorsed it and backed it since its news of it coming mm-hmm. to light.
It's brought up a lot of interesting dialogues, specifically that the National Assembly, which is Korean's lawmaking body, did something very similar about a decade ago because an actress committed suicide. And they passed a law. And people are like, well, it didn't help then. Is it going to help now? The flow of conversation is, it would really help as long as the law follows through with the enforcement instead of just trying to make themselves look like they care. And like you said, a lot of people have endorsed it because we know this change is necessary. And as the world evolves, we have to evolve with it. And there's a lot of idols that have had these issues, one specifically being Top, to the point where his mother had to address the public.
Which is crazy.
Which is a lot to take in. I am sure being the mother of one of the most popular people in the whole country is a very stressful job, but she's still a mom. It's still her baby. And she has to see what you say too. He posted something recently that said, malicious comments are murder and freedom comes with a price. And he was speaking at one of the controversies of the law, which is this, are you trying to take away our freedom of speech by limiting what we say online behind our anonymous, you know, usernames and such? And he makes a very good point. Like, people become monsters as soon as they know there's no consequences that then can touch them physically. Obviously, we found out the consequences this week. Some of the comments that were left were horrific. But hopefully the National Assembly will follow through, and this time we'll be able to help and stop us from losing more idols, because they're people. And I like them, and I'd like them to like themselves.
So. I think as long as they can keep up with the follow through, that's going to be... I don't want this to just be a lot of talk.
Right.
I don't want this to be a scare tactic that ends up not having any actual repercussions, because
right.
it's getting out of hand.
You're right.
Like, literally the day after there was another idol, and I can't remember who it was specifically, I don't have the article in front of me, who posted something about her, you know, her sadness, and fans started attacking her for it,
mm-hmm.
and like writing hateful comments on her Instagram post.
It was one of the members of Girls Day who she posted her sadness, and they said, what are you gonna be next?
That's been a thing too. There was a whole Twitter blocking spree of a Twitter ad that was Yoongi, you're next.
What?
Yeah. Because people fucking suck.
Jesus Christ. How have we turned into this?
I addressed it in the short little conversation about Sully that I did. But if you have the kind of ugliness in your heart that makes you feel that you can speak to someone that way, please go seek help. Like, for the love of God, you need help as much as those people who you are trying to get to do those things, who have that hurt inside of them. If you have the kind of ugliness in your heart that makes you think that that's okay to speak to people that way, you need just as much help, and I need you to go seek it immediately. Like, please stop being a piece of shit garbage human being. And I know that's also cyberbullying, but I feel like mine's a little bit justified if you're telling people to go kill yourself. I'm just asking you to go get help. Was that too much? Was that too far?
No, I think we set our piece.
Okay, let's talk about...
We're going to end on a good note.
We're going to end on the fact that Super M became the first K-pop group to debut at number one on Billboard's charts this past week.
Woo! Super M!
So there was actually a big competition with it going on. There was another artist that, you know, she was posting a video of her signing vinyls and stuff. It's like, oh, I heard someone's coming for my number one spot. And Super M was working really hard. I was getting text after text of, we're so close, we're so close. And it's actually sparked a lot of conversation and controversy with the whole bundling albums and the multiple versions and multiple download links, because with every Super M purchase of either a shirt or an album, a physical album or a signed poster, you also got 10 download links for the mini album.
Oh.
And every download link counted towards the charts.
Oh.
And of course, then they released the multiple versions of the albums with multiple with every single member's face on it. So there's a lot of controversy going on right now on, is this fair? Now, of course, a lot of it is hypocritical. People are saying they released 8 versions of the album with the 7 members' faces plus the multi one with all of them. And it's like, okay, that's not a fair argument in the aspect of every group releases multiple versions of albums. Persona had 3 versions. Do we not remember when NCT released Regulate and they had 10 versions because they had one with each member's face on it? It is good not grief. Like ATEEZ always has multiple versions. Stray Kids always has multiple versions. It's not uncommon to have multiple versions of albums. That is how K-pop has always driven album sales.
But is this not the U.S. Billboard?
It is the U.S. Billboard. It's specifically the U.S. Billboard.
Right. So, I mean...
That's the thing is BTS was number one on the U.S. Billboard as well. And that was something BuzzFeed released an article stating that SM was counting foreign sales in the Billboard chart and then had to go back and redact that statement. Granted, they didn't do it the right way with an editor's note. They just completely deleted it from the article itself with no editing or corrections cited. But there's just all this because Taylor Swift does bundling downloads. No one's ever said anything about her topping charts.
Does she top? Yeah, she does.
And so it's this whole controversy of why is it such a big deal? Is it because and that's unfortunately what it boils down to. It's because it's not BTS. Because no one in the United States has a problem with it. It's ARMY that have been writing to sites about this is not fair. This is not fair. It's literally that it's BT. Because a girl tweeted Jihyo's archive. She's just a Jihyo fan site. It's wonderful. And her tweet the day that they announced that Super M was on the Billboard number one spot, her tweet was, "So it's all about Asian representation until you're not the Asian being represented."
Oh, damn.
Because that's literally what it is that is where a lot of people are upset. And it's literally nobody's complaining about it. No American artists has said a single thing about it. It's all been people upset that BTS were knocked out of that number one spot by another K-pop group. That another K-pop group was the first to do something in America. And that has literally been the main argument that I'm seeing on my timeline.
Man, there's just so many things to say and so many things I know I shouldn't say for fear of probably just being murdered in my sleep. But I will admit that there's a reason I will not ever publicly be like, oh, I'm an ARMY.
Yep.
Because ARMYs have a terrible reputation. And this is why.
It's true. And I mean, granted, there's a lot of fandoms out there that are getting just as bad as ARMY. InCitizens fucking suck these days. And
XOLs fucking suck these days.
Right. The sad thing about fandom is becoming very toxic to associate with. Mm-hmm.
In general, all fandom.
Yeah. Other than Carrots, Agassi, and Mondeeves. Y'all are the only ones that don't suck. Good job, guys.
Good job, guys.
And so it's. Fandom is becoming very toxic, and it's InCitizens have another name for people who don't want to associate with InCitizens, and I can't remember it off the top of my head, but it's to the point that fandoms are creating side names for themselves so that they don't get associated with the fandom itself.
Oh, see, that's where I need to be.
And where it boils down to is, one, a lot of people were really upset because this BuzzFeed article that posted a lot of misinformation that then had to go back and redact a lot of misinformation was posted by BTS fans, not necessarily actual BuzzFeed writers.
Oh.
And it was posted without being reviewed, and then they had to go back and delete stuff, but they didn't do it in an editor's note type way. It was also posted the day after, or like right after the news of Soli broke. And so a lot of fans are upset because this post that's bashing SM Entertainment and criticizing this SM group came out while the group is in mourning over a lost member of their management company. You can't necessarily control as much, because news is going to break whether or not news is going to break.
You're right.
It sucks regardless, but that is another huge issue that a lot of fans are having with it is, you know, they didn't really have the opportunity to come back and defend themselves because they're in a totally different state of mind right now. Super M was about to start, you know, releasing episodes of a show called Super M from the beginning, and they have since then held off on that. But I think that the main issue that I have with this is Multi fans obviously have no problem with Super M taking that number one spot. And even if I bought into the BTS paved the way shit, they didn't. I'm sorry. Like, if you disagree with me, stop listening to our podcast.
We love BTS.
We do. We are huge BTS fans. We both have ults in BTS, and we have seen them in concert, and we buy their stuff, and we support them fully. They did not pave the way.
But
even if for a second you bought into the mindset that BTS paved the way, why pave the way if no one else can walk the road?
Damn straight.
Like, why set these records and break the mold for no one else to be able to be a part of it as well? Why would you not want BTS, who have friends in other K-pop groups? Taehyung and Baekhyun are friends. So Super M has friends with BTS. Shocking, I know. And then, like, on top of that, it's like RM and Jackson from GOT7 are friends, but everybody shits on GOT7. And it's like, why would you not want their friends to be successful? These are people and artists that they support as well.
Mm-hmm.
I have no doubt in my mind that someone that maybe, you know what? Maybe Taehyung reached out to Baekhyun and was like, fucking congrats, bro.
Like, oh, you know he did.
Like, that's the kind of shit that I don't get. People eat the shit up when it's like, oh my God, like, Taylor Swift and Katy Perry became friends again, but like, because it's Korean artists, they can't be friends with each other. They have to constantly be in competition with each other.
Or like, we know that the Thai idols have a group chat and they're in like 7 different groups, and yet we're fine with them having a group chat. It's because they're friends, because they're allowed to be, because they're people in the same industry.
That's what it all boils down to is, and it's the same thing as with the cyberbullying. You get brave behind a screen, but they're still fucking people, and they still have friends, and other people are allowed to be successful other than just one group.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be, when I first got back into K-pop and it was just like solely EXO for me, it was like I for real wanted EXO to be the only popular group in K-pop, and it took about 2 months to snap the fuck out of that, because like, that was fucking stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
but I mean, I get that. The first one, like we always say, the first one's special.
Right.
EXO will be our baby. But I mean, how can you just stand one? There's so much talent and there's so much variety.
Do you not just get bored only listening to one group? Like,
you're right. And I mean, this is the basis of life. It is music. It is meant to have variety, and it is meant to be challenged and recreated. And you cannot do that with the same 5 guys with the same 3 producers. Like, it's not a thing. There's a soapbox here.
There is a soapbox here. Regardless, Super M or SM Entertainment did end up posting something about the Billboard charts only being American sales. The numbers were accurate, and Super M was the first K-pop group to debut number one on the Billboard charts. Now, apparently the rules will be changing in 2020 as far as excluding bundle sales, but that's also due to artists like Taylor Swift who also do the bundle sales. So, right. You know, it's a matter of you can't, you know, again, it boils down to I bought, you know, albums or I bought a poster. I bought two signed posters. So I got 20 downloads.
Damn.
But so before I knew that, you know, the bundle, I thought it was just, you know, it counted as like album purchases. In my mind, it was two. It wasn't 20. So I just tweeted out the link and was like, if you can't afford the album here, download it. Not realizing that that was counting towards. I just thought I was doing my good Samaritan deed for the day.
Wow.
But regardless, rules will be changing in 2020 for Billboard's sales, apparently, or what counts towards Billboard's number one spot, apparently. But for the time being.
Hey, I mean, that's what I said. As we evolve, so does everything else.
Everything has to change over time. And Super M broke a fucking record. Not only were they the first K-pop group to debut as number one, they had the very first Thai artist to debut as number one on Billboard, with 10 being the first Thai artist to have a number one song on Billboard.
Oh, go 10.
So that's my son. Go 10. Super proud of you. Super proud of Super M. I thought this was a super cool record for them to break. It just goes back to what we talked about with them with the last episode of they're going to defy all odds in K-pop, and they're proving that. Mm. So super stoked on Super M. Always super stoked for Super M.
Always so, super, 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 super.
Super for everything is super.
Yep.
Super. So we're going to do a new segment where we talk about our current obsession of the week. And this week, mine just boils down to 80s. I have been on an 80s binge since this most recent album came out. I know other stuff has happened since then, but I cannot stop watching 80s content. Their video with Kalen, the guy who does like the food reviews on Ellen's show, have literally watched that like 7 times. They are the cutest fucking human beings alive, and I am painfully obsessed with 80s right now. I listened to nothing but 80s today, except for when Grayson was in the car and he made me listen to the Lion King soundtrack.
Of course he did.
But 80s is my fucking shit right now, and I am probably about to do one of my big spirals where I just obsess over them for over a certain group for a very long time. So thanks, 80s. Welcome thanks, to 80s. This. Apparently they said something recently about they all have a list of fans on Twitter that bias them. Like each member has their list of Twitter fans, and that really fucking concerns me. Because my Twitter is not something a K-pop idol ever needs to look at.
You're damn right.
In my defense,
or like
at least
that one time we saw that Chen Yeol was on Tumblr. And
yes,
we were all like,
delete everything. That is how. Luckily, I have not like thirst tweeted about my AT's bias, so I've just put him on my bias list thread. So I think I'm safe. But AT's is my obsession of the week.
My obsession of the week is Monsta X, Someone.
Yeah.
They just dropped the actual music video for it today. I have listened to it a dozen times. It's just so good. And I am a repeat person. I put things on repeat frantically. And my husband gets sick and tired of it. And I think he's going to like stab something through his ear sooner or later. But that, and also 5 Seconds of Summer.
Really?
Yes.
Hey, I'm for it.
Ghost of You by 5 Seconds of Summer, yep. Which is not new. Not new, but you know how many times I've listened to it in the past week? Like
1,200. I was close. Yeah.
it's a bit out of hand, but do I care?
No,
I don't. But yeah, most of my obsessions are always music related, unless I am reading a good book or something. I'm reading a good comic, but I have binged myself out of reading, so I'm taking a break.
That's fair.
I have 92 bookmarks on AO3 that I have read in the past, like, 3 months.
That's ridiculous.
I read a lot. I read a lot.
You do.
But anyway, I do.
But that's our obsessions of the week, AT's, Five Sauce, and
Monsta X.
And so thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of K-Pop Parade. You can always find us on Twitter, which is at K-Pop Parade, K-P-O-P-A-R-A-D-E.
We have a thing on Twitter where we do the music videos of the week.
Oh, yeah.
So if you have an awesome music video, K-pop related, that you wanted us to make a shout out to, let us know.
Please interact with us on Twitter. You will get shouted out on here. You will get your tweets retweeted.
Twitted. It's twitted.
Only for Hwasa. Right.
Only for Hwasa.
Only for Hwasa. So definitely let us know what you think the K-pop music video of the week should be. We will always take votes and take it into consideration. And always check our Twitter for fun stuff.
Fun stuff.
Once again, I'm Trinity.
And I'm Abby.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll talk to you later.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.